Welcome to the August edition of In Conversation With, the Lancet HIV's monthly podcast. I'm Philippa Harris, the deputy editor, and today I'm talking to Amir Moharib, an infectious disease physician from Massachusetts General Hospital and an instructor at Harvard Medical School, both in the US. Amir will be talking about his review published in the August issue, which looks at the risks and benefits of pre-exposure prophylaxis for people living with chronic hepatitis B. On a related topic, the August issue also contains an article looking at daily and event-driven PrEP alongside papers on pediatric outcomes for children living with HIV in Zambia and dolutegravir transitioning in Malawi. We hope you enjoy the whole issue. But now to talk to Amir. So could you start by just telling us a little bit about what we know about HIV and hepatitis B dual infection and why HIV prevention is particularly important in this population?
Yes, and thank you so much for having me and talking about this issue. Hepatitis B can complicate infection with HIV, particularly chronic hepatitis B infection. Something between 7 and 10% of the people living with HIV also have chronic hepatitis B, and that percentage might be higher in certain at-risk groups. And it also might be higher in hepatitis B endemic countries, such as in sub-Saharan Africa and in the Western Pacific region. This is important because hepatitis B complicates chronic infection with HIV. People with HIV and hepatitis B co-infection have accelerated liver disease. They have a higher risk of mortality. And initiation of antiretroviral therapy that is active against both HIV and hepatitis B certainly improves those clinical outcomes, but it does not bring the risk of excess mortality back to the level of HIV monoinfection. So it is tremendously important, and it's a public health priority for us to prevent co-infection with HIV and hepatitis B.
And so there are obviously, you know, lots of methods of HIV prevention, but if we're talking about pre-exposure prophylaxis or PrEP, what are the impact that those antivirals have on a hepatitis B infection?
Yeah, interestingly, there are a few antiretrovirals that are used in HIV that are also active against hepatitis B. They inhibit viral replication from the hepatitis B virus. And the two that are most commonly used as PrEP are tenofovir disoproxil fumarate and tenofovir alafenamide. So oral tenofovir-based therapy for PrEP is, or pre-exposure prophylaxis for HIV, actually potently inhibits hepatitis B replication as well. And in fact, emtricitabine, which is the other component of that combination pill for PrEP, is also active against hepatitis B. So that actually presents a really important and potentially transformative opportunity for us to expand treatment against hepatitis B through the use of PrEP. It allows us to prevent HIV infection and better control hepatitis B, which is, again, a major public health priority. And so when we take that medicine and we have hepatitis B, we actually inhibit viral replication, and that's been shown to lead to improved liver-related outcomes. So lower risk of cirrhosis, lower risk of hepatocellular carcinoma, and ultimately lower risk of liver-related mortality.
So, you know, PrEP is a tablet that people tend to take not for their whole lives. You know, people come on and off PrEP sort of as their lifestyle changes. You know, what impact could stopping that medication have on the hepatitis B infection?
That really is an important question, and it was one that we tried to dive into in this review article. So early clinical experiences of cessation of antiviral therapy that was active against hepatitis B, and this is thinking about trials of emtricitabine for hepatitis B or in the kind of lamivudine era of treatment for hepatitis B, those trials demonstrated that cessation of antiviral therapy for hepatitis B could lead to viral rebound or a reactivation of viral replication. And that can lead to a hepatitis flare or elevation in the aminotransferases. And some fraction of those people go on to have some feared complications like acute liver failure or prolonged necroinflammation of the liver. And so that poses a risk because of what you just said. On the one hand, people taking hepatitis B active PrEP or tenofovir-based PrEP might accrue a benefit of it while they are on therapy. But like most people who take PrEP, they often stop when their self-perceived risk of HIV declines. And that poses a risk of this, cessation of antiviral therapy and rebound of the hepatitis B.
And in the future, you know, there are, you know, we're seeing a sort of wide expansion of the range of PrEP options. So things like the dapivirine ring and the long-acting cabotegravir injections. You know, what impact could that have on people with hepatitis B, you know, who are also thinking about HIV prevention?
It's a good question. I think a lot of these, you know, tenofovir-free regimens or tenofovir-free options for PrEP are very important because, you know, we've had continued challenges scaling up PrEP in certain populations. For some people, it is too challenging or not appropriate to be taking a daily pill every day. So the dalpivirine ring, which is approved in many countries in Africa and likely to gain approval around the world in the coming years, and long-acting cabotegravir, which is approved here in the United States. These options could potentially improve our ability to expand PrEP to at-risk populations. On the other hand, they don't have activity against hepatitis B. And so for people who are living with hepatitis B, who are candidates for those tenofovir-free options, they would only accrue the benefits of HIV prevention and not hepatitis B control. On the one hand, that might take some of the risk calculation away from certain clinicians' minds about antiviral therapy cessation and reactivation. But on the other hand, it really passes up on an opportunity to control this devastating disease. And so it may be an emphasis in the future for us to be doubling down on our efforts to think about long-acting regimens that include hepatitis B activity.
So if you're a clinician and someone comes to you and you know they're interested in HIV prevention and you think you know they're a really good candidate for PrEP, what are the considerations you think the clinician should be making? You think oral PrEP is the right way to go, or you know, is there additional testing that needs to be done to sort of protect people from potentially the side effects? What would you do?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, you know, obviously it starts with shared decision making and knowing the priorities of the patient in front of me and appropriate counseling. But if that person has hepatitis B, I would strongly favor initiation of tenofovir-based oral PrEP. I would counsel them on the risks of cessation. If they stop PrEP, that there could be a risk of viral rebound. In my setting, in a high resource country, I am able to maybe investigate their hepatitis B profile a little bit more closely. So I would check for hepatitis B serologies like the E antigen. I would check hepatitis B DNA. I would check their aminotransferases or their liver enzymes. And I might even do tests for fibrosis assessments such as transient liver elastography. And the truth is, the global areas where we want to scale up PrEP may not have access to all of those investigations, but they actually might have the preponderance of people living with hepatitis B. And so in my opinion, I don't think hepatitis B should ever be a deterrent for starting PrEP. Unfortunately, most PrEP clinical trials excluded people living with hepatitis B, likely because of the considerations that I mentioned earlier about reactivation hepatitis and the risk of acute liver failure. On the other hand, we're gaining some insights from the hepatology literature about the risks of antiviral cessation in people with hepatitis B monoinfection. So there are a few clinical trials and some observational cohort studies evaluating people with hepatitis B monoinfection and seeing what happens to their virus and to their liver when they stop treatment. Frequently, these patients are on tenofovir monotherapy or entecavir. And what we can gain from that literature is that many patients will go on to have reactivation of hepatitis B DNA, but a smaller fraction of those will actually have clinically significant liver disease. And then the people who are at most at risk of having liver failure would be people with pre-existing cirrhosis. And so that's what I would carry with me if I were counseling a patient who is interested in PrEP.
And you talk about sort of the lack of data we have due to trial exclusion. What do you think are the big research questions we need to answer? I mean, you know, would you like to see future trials for PrEP have a more inclusive participant guidelines, you know, less exclusion of people with conditions such as hepatitis B?
Yeah, absolutely. I think future trials for PrEP really should be including people with hepatitis B. At the research side, we should be testing for it and studying it. I think on the clinical side, we really should be expanding our screening efforts for hepatitis B so that we can better understand it using, you know, observational or retrospective cohort studies. You know, we are seeing investigations about different forms of PrEP implementation, continuous versus event-based PrEP. And all of those really should be doubling down on their efforts to recruit people living with hepatitis B, especially considering that they've been excluded from PrEP trials in the past. The tension between the potential benefits of PrEP in HIV, in reducing the risk of HIV acquisition and controlling hepatitis B, and then the potential consequences of PrEP cessation or antiviral therapy cessation, you know, reactivation of hepatitis, like I mentioned, but also that some of those patients go on to clear their surface antigen, which is a good prognostic event in the history of hepatitis B. That tension between events and outcomes would be amenable to simulation modeling and cost-effectiveness analysis. And so I'm hoping that we would see more studies using simulation modeling to investigate the risks and benefits of PrEP in this at-risk population as well.
So yeah, lots to learn, but potentially, you know, a lot of benefits as well. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Many thanks for listening, and please do read the full review, which is available on our website. And we'll be back next month to continue the conversation.